It's dead on 6:30, so welcome to this first planning meeting of this calendar year.
Yeah.
This special planning meeting, you will have noticed there's only one application on the agenda and that we have got one public speaker, and I would remind people that there both the speaker and the ward member have got 10 minutes to address the committee. Any decision that we come to this evening has to be taken in accordance with the NPPF and the local plan. And as the chairman says every time, the members of this committee have not got the immunity of other people like a member of parliament, etc. This meeting is being recorded. I need to report that Councillor Trowbridge is substituting for the chairman, Councillor Brian Cross, and then Councillor Beattie is substituting for Councillor Peter Jones. Thank them both for doing that. On my left are members of the legal team, and on my right are members of the planning committee. I think I would pass it over to you then, John, to...
Just the decorations of interest.
Oh, yeah. Can I have decorations of interest if there are any? No?
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so this application relates to 21/33986/FPM. And it relates to a site visited by a special planning committee in October last year. The location plan showed the extent of the site outlined in red and an aerial of the site shown now. The site is a 12.4 hectare site located to the southeast of Stafford Town Centre. The site is bound to the east by Lichfield Road, to the south by the West Coast Main Line, beyond which is the Queen's Shopping Park. To the west is the residential area and a large industrial building, and to the north is the Hoff Retail Park. The surrounding area is largely characterised by residential development. The site is a historic factory site and has an existing access from Lichfield Road and Runshaw Drive. The site is currently vacant and covered in hard sanding. The eastern boundary of the site is lined by mature trees. A resolution to grant outline planning permission for the redevelopment of the site for up to 365 dwellings was agreed by the planning committee in October last year, the associated legal agreement for which is still being completed. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Photo 1 shows the existing access from Runshaw Drive. 2 looks across the site in a northeast direction from the Runshaw Drive access. 3 looks across the site in a southeast direction from the Runshaw Drive access. 4 shows the existing access from Lichfield Road. And 5 looks across the site from the Lichfield Road access. Plan 1 shows the proposed cut and fill on the site. Plan 2 shows the proposed land levels. And Plan 3 shows the proposed opening of the culvert. This application seeks permission for the enabling works, including retrospective permission for the demolition of the structures on the site. The enabling works include the removal of all slabs, remnant foundations and obstructions, removal and infilling of the basements, removal of the ducting and service corridors, opening of a section of the culvert and realignment, and the turnover and reprofiling of the ground. Whilst the proposed enabling works duplicate those within the outlined scheme, this would allow the site to be prepared for the residential development before the reserve matters applications are submitted. The proposal is considered to be acceptable in principle and would facilitate the redevelopment of the site. All consultees are satisfied with the scheme, subject to the recommended conditions. The scheme is considered to be acceptable with regards to residential amenity and highway safety, and the proposal is not considered to impact upon agriculture, ecology or protected sites. The application is therefore recommended for approval, subject to the conditions stated within the agenda, except for condition 10, which should be amended as follows. Adding the revision C to the Kent reference.
Condition 10.
In adding the revision numbers to three documents, just to make it precise. So the Kemp reference should include revision C. The technical note reference should include revision C01. And the remediation strategy should refer to revision A. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to come to the table, Mr. Barnes, to address the committee? As I said in the preamble, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening. My name is Robert Barnes. I'm acting for St Modwen as the planning consultant for scheme. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I'd also like to extend my thanks to your officers for all their hard work in progressing the application to this meeting. The positive approach and assistance we've had from the case officer in getting us to this point and with helping to deliver this site is very much appreciated. As the presentation has just reminded members, you'll recall that you resolved to grant outline planning permission for residential on the site in October last year. Good progress has been made since then with the detailed drafting of the Section 106 agreement, and that should be completed very soon indeed now, so that the planning permission can be issued. A separate full planning permission has also now been granted to complete the site access from the west. The scheme before you today is the final one then in a suite of applications intended to facilitate the delivery of new homes on the site. It is solely for enabling works and proposes no above ground development. A permission today would allow various engineering tasks to be completed in terms of remediating the site, levelling it, and opening up the culvert. It is simply intended as an efficient way to allow the site to be prepared ahead of building houses. Importantly, these works are no different to those which are already supported through your decision to allow residential development on the site. They simply mean a start on that can be made more quickly and efficiently. Importantly, all of the environmental protections you would expect for works of this nature are secured by the suggested conditions. So you'll have seen that those control matters such as access and routing for vehicles, hours of work, dust control, tree protection, ecology and so on. As such, the effect of granting permission today will not be to allow anything more than what the council have already supported. It will, however, allow this important brownfield site to be remediated and prepared for regeneration more swiftly than will otherwise be the case. We agree with the positive comments made by your officer in her report and are grateful for the recommendation. We hope you are able to support the application today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The ward member.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Can I just... You have 10 minutes.
Yes, I want to have that. Thank you. I realise that we've given permission already for demolition. However, I understand from residents and people who used to work there many years ago that there are, under that ground, levelling works to be carried out. There are some shelters that we use for air raids. This levelling is going to be even worse for the residents in the area, noisier, etc., than the previous were when we were just demolishing the actual factory. Some of the residents, while the factory was being demolished, actually suffered cracks in the walls, various damages to their properties. Surveyors did visit them. I'm not sure if those surveyors were from the demolition company or whether they were from Fort Modrith. They refused to accept any responsibility. I was daily getting messages saying the house was vibrating from various residents, not only on the crossings, but on the Litchfield Road as well. Is there any possibility that the residents, where necessary, can be provided with monitors to monitor their homes and protect them so that there is no doubt whatsoever that the demolition was actually caused by this works, the levy works? Because it really isn't fair, Chairman, when you've got people buying houses, living in their homes, and they are constantly being disturbed, cracks appearing in the walls, vibrations and what have you. It just is not fair, it's unbearable, it's intolerable. And I really don't think we're being very fair on the residents of Litchfield Road and Forage. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think it's coming to the impact of demolition. We don't have any energy.
No.
Don't think about how it's going to make noise in the truck. It's not the same. Is it going to be used at all? Don't
work
on the truck. Yeah. I'm just making inquiries about how we can give any whether we can give any consideration to the point you've raised.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I respond to that one. So as part of the consultation period, the environmental health officer requested additional vibration monitoring points to be added to the site boundaries. These have been added, and they're in the KEMP document, the Construction Environmental Management Plan document, which has been agreed by the Environmental Health Officer. So monitoring points are included around the boundaries.
That's a condition 10, Chairman. Yes.
Can I just ask Vanessa, Chairman, do you have that document?
Not on me now.
No, I mean, do you have it in your office?
Yes, it's on the website as well.
It's on the website as well, okay. Thank you.
That seems to me to answer the point of your concern.
Because this is going to be even worse than the original demolition.
Yeah, but as far as I can tell, the basic tenet of your concern has been addressed by the comments that Vanessa has made. Okay?
Just a question on that particular point. Where are these vibration points? I mean, are they in people's houses or are they on the edge of the site?
No, they're on the site boundaries. Off the top of my head, there's quite a few along this boundary here, along Litchfield Road, and then there's a couple around the edge this side, and then along the southern boundary as well.
Okay, thank you.
Make me happy, but there you go.
I'll open up to now a discussion for. Yes, yeah, Tom, go. Councillor Hood, do you want to?
Yeah, perhaps I heard Simon talk about condition 10, but the environmental health officer on page 12 does actually say that it's going to be less impactful than the demolition phase. Although there are still large areas of foundations to be processed and leveled. So he's actually saying that it's not going to be as impactful as the actual previous demolition. So what's it to be? Is it or isn't it?
Well, I think there are two points. One is what you've just outlined, and the other is that there will be provision for monitoring. And those are two separate items. But we're not saying that there's the provision of monitoring because it's likely to be worse. We're saying that there will be provision for monitoring and that needs to be read in conjunction with the comments made under point 10.
Okay, it's just that it was the environmental health officer.
Yes, yes.
Officer Blake has just said that the environmental officer is going to put in these monitors. So it seems like he or she is arguing.
Sorry, the developer.
I beg your pardon. I thought you said the environment. I do beg your pardon. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Kim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just picking up on what Vanessa said there about the locations of the monitoring devices, I think you said there's quite a few along the Lichfield Road and alongside the railway line, but not so many on the western side where the adjacent houses are, and that seems a bit contrary, because why do you want monitoring devices next to the railway line and not next to the houses?
There's points on all the boundaries, including the western side, and the ones on the southern side are required so that we don't disrupt the railway line.
Second point, if I may, a bit left wing, but when these excavations and site works are being carried out, they'll no doubt reveal some of the buried history of that site. And I would like to think that the eventual layout of the site reflects what was found underground and not some off-the-shelf site plan that just gets imposed onto an area. By these excavations, we will be uncovering what we've heard, possible air raid shelters, probably communication corridors. And I'd like to think we could be a little bit more inventive and say, well, why don't we leave them there in some sense and make them part of the development, give that development some unique character. Those underground connection channels could be part of a landscaping scheme that enables people to travel that route now, what was travelled previously underground, and just have a bit more now. So I get fed up of developments coming forward which pay homage to what was there before by calling it Meadows View or whatever. It's not a Meadows View anymore, the meadow is gone. So why can't we just put down a marker saying to the developer, if there are significant things, and I see that the county archaeologist advises there is potential for underground remains to be present and therefore recommends investigation. Let's do more than investigate. Let's see if we can work this development around what's underground and preserve it there and make it that something that we can say, yeah, I know it was on here before. It used to be an old factory, but it's got a history, a local history, and a local heritage. And if we can expose that and retain it, I think it might be useful.
Would you like to comment on the...
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. As Councillor McEwen says, the county archaeologist does make that comment, and accordingly there is a condition, I think condition 4, if I remember correctly. What I think you need to bear in mind, though, is that this isn't an application for the housing layout that you're looking at. This is enabling works. So the consideration of what you're saying isn't for this application. It's a potential future application when we get a layout, depending on what the outcome is. But there's nothing we could impose on this application along the lines of what you're saying.
If I may just come back. I'm just saying that if I don't say it now, it'll be too late before.
You're putting a marker down.
Yes. Thank you.
And that perhaps that will be heard.
Thank you.
Councillor Ashler?
Thank you very much, Chairman. Yes, I'd like to think that, you know, how are we going to protect those trees that have got TPOs on them? I don't want somebody to come along in a few months' time and say, oh, sorry, we chopped that down by accident, because that happens. We know it happens. So can we make sure that the TPOs are looked after? As I say, I don't want to sit here. The other thing that I'm quite worried about, I'd like to ask the agent, or if that's possible, for clarification.
Probably best to ask John for the information.
Is that, do you want to ask the question? We might
I'd like to ask, have they had talked with Severn Trent, with the asset protection team, about drainage and sewerage? Because we have got, and I've got to say, and I'll say, we've got major problems down in that area. In actual fact, only yesterday I sent a letter to Doncaster, to the drainage people, to find out exactly what work was going down, not on that site, but across the road and down that area. There is major problems with Severn Trent and with the drainage system. So I don't know, that culvert, I mean, where does that go, and what's happening with that?
Okay, Councillor Trowbridge.
I want to stay on the same subject, if that's okay. I looked at the flood risk assessment, and I noticed there's no balancing lake proposed on there, but you have proposed the opening of the culvert. Is that to take the excess water, or I just wanted to understand it just slightly more. Otherwise, what is the reason for opening up the culvert, and is there a plan in the future for a balancing lake?
I'll answer both of those for you.
Thank you.
So with regards to the trees, conditions 6 and 7 make sure that tree protection measures go up, and also an agricultural method statement is provided and agreed with our agriculturist before any works go ahead.
Yeah, that's
so
on paper, but yeah.
We will make sure that the trees will be protected. Regards to Severn Trent water, paragraph 4C says that Severn Trent water raised no objections, and then they also recommended an informative to say that the developer contacts the asset management team, which is a separate process to the planning commission planning process. So that's a separate thing that they would have to do. And then with regards to potential for a balancing pond and opening the culvert, so opening the culvert is included in the development for the houses that was discussed previously. And the indicative layout for that scheme and the flood risk assessment for that scheme showed that there will be balancing ponds on the site. We don't know the exact location as of yet, because it's still in outline form. So the opening of the culvert in this instance is to facilitate the housing development, which will have an open culvert and make use of the waterway as a feature.
Okay, that's nice. Then may I continue? May I put forward for this for approval, please?
Well, so we haven't finished this. People want to comment yet.
Yeah, but I can still do that, can't I?
Yes, you can.
But I need a seconder, obviously.
Yes, yeah. Are you seconding?
No, I want to
speak. All right, sorry. We have a proposer, Councillor Trowbridge, and a seconder, Councillor Beattie.
Like,
but you wanted to, I thought you were indicating you wanted to speak.
I was. Thank you, Chairman. It's actually picking up the culvert point. If it's going to be a feature, I think that's an excellent proposition. I'd like to be absolutely certain that the conditions don't allow the developers to change their minds. Because it is one of the things that we are trying to do in Stafford, is to open up the watercourses in the town for the purposes of ecology and flora and fauna, and also for the benefit of people wanting to take advantage of walking around and so on. And I think it'd be a nice feature for this development, so I'm all for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Kemp?
Can we see that map of the plan again with a culvert on?
Yeah.
I have to be honest, this is one of the worst plans that I've seen in years, because it doesn't tell me anything. It just tells me that green snake is the culvert.
Yeah,
it doesn't tell me where it comes out or anything like that, or where it comes in. I'm interested in the archaeology, because if a lot of people don't realise, there was a leper hospital in that area. It may have been on the other side of the road, but the point is that that area was developed a long, long time ago. And of course, there's another historical point about in the Second World War, this was the only place that actually got bombed by the Germans. Only one bomb landed in Stafford, it was on this, in that area. But that, of course, that's already gone. The thing about it is, as I said, and it was said earlier by the board member, is the vibration of doing work on this site and the demolition thing. Nobody's mentioned the fact that they started demolition before they actually got permission to do it.
Yeah.
So the people have suffered already about the demolition, and I do feel, I do feel this business sticking vibrators around the site isn't going to help the people in the colony, which is another historical part of Stafford, because there's not many firms in this area built workers' houses in the way they did the colony. And the thing is, again, the houses on the Lithfield Road, they're very old, and you know, this is the point about it. You do some banging and messing around on that site, you cause all sorts of problems, not only for the neighbours, but the rest of us who live some distance away.
Chairman, can I ask a supplementary question, please? Has a survey been carried out as to what is actually below that ground, the levelling?
Okay.
What kind of survey?
A survey as to what is in, like in other areas we've probably had surveys regarding you know, just what's underneath the ground. What are they going to actually be digging up?
I'm taking that, Councillor, as clarification rather than a question.
So an archaeological technical note has been submitted with the, so they've done an initial survey, and then the condition requires them to do an in-depth survey of the site
before they start doing it.
Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman. There are a few things that I'd like to mention. I have some concerns about the flooding on the site and the model that the developer has done, which indicates that potentially if there's a 50% blockage on the culvert, the model doesn't indicate any flooding within the site. However, if the maximum water level is reached, it indicates that flooding would be caused upstream along the brook in the bowling green, where the levels are going to be lower. So what they're saying is this isn't maintained, it's going to present problems for other residents and other places. Now, I understand that Bowling Green is within ownership, from what I can gather within the material that I've read, of the developers, so they're probably not so bothered, but it is going to have a knock-on effect, and that concerns me. The other thing that really concerns me is the report which was submitted by is it RLRE, which talks about the site itself. The fact that during the groundwater investigations, groundwater was encountered at the majority of locations, typically from depths of 1.3 metres to 4.5 metres. And during the two phases of ground investigation on site between 2010 and 2020, a total of 248 sites, chemical, soil, or groundwater samples have been obtained. The sampling contained copper, arsenic, chromium, lead, mercury, zinc, nickel, etc., etc. It's a big list. And these were elevated concentrates of these metals that was found in the soil and in the water. So my concern is this going to contaminate the water source, the brook? Is this water all going to be running off into a natural water course, which is going to contaminate other areas as a result? What happens if there are pollutants found? Who becomes responsible for that? How do we prevent that from happening? And whose responsibility will it become?
If I just say in very general terms, and then I'll let the message in a bit more detail, but in general terms, this application is for remediation works to the site. So as you rightly say, investigations have shown there are various, in certain parts of the site, various things. So what the applicant's wanting to do is, they've already got permission, an outline permission, and it included these works, but they want to get on and do that sooner rather than later, because obviously if the site stays as it is, yes, you've got a potential for leachate or whatever it is. So the applicant wants to get on and do those works. Yes, they will find pockets, and that's what the study's already shown, pockets of certain things, but the whole point of this is to be able to get on and deal with them sooner rather than later, rather than waiting till a developer's put a reserved matter scheme in, we've got a whole layout, and then get on with it. But the idea is to do it sooner rather than later, so the principle is what we want.
Yeah, and both the Environment Agency and the Lead Local Flood Authority are satisfied with the information that's been submitted. Condition 5 requires a detailed remediation strategy regarding contamination to be submitted. So that will identify any further contaminants and what's going to happen to neutralise them.
You accept that what we're talking about is a comprehensive remediation which will deal with some of the issues that you covered earlier?
I accept that, but I also have grave concerns over the potential that this problems that this could create.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's easy enough to sit around the table and have these conversations, but how do you shut the floodgates once they're opened?
Yeah.
How do we stop some kind of environmental impact if it's already happened? If the water has already been washed down the culvert and is already affecting other areas, then it's too late by that point. And it's obviously been noted. Now, I understand that the Environmental Agency, etc., are aware of some of this, but it doesn't seem to me that their responses are particularly in depth or have any real really looking at these issues, because they're just the same basic responses that we see every time. Nothing is relating to any of these findings at all.
Okay, Councillor Cooper, you want to speak?
Yeah, just to clarify my understanding. For example, I know from my own experience, if asbestos was found on site, there'd be specialist contractors brought in to deal with it, it would be contained in the same way.
Yeah.
Is there similar legislation in place so that if the sort of contaminants that we're talking about are found, specialists come in and deal with it? It's not just kind of buried a bit deeper, as it were, or moved across the site to a different place. It has to be removed and measured in a controlled manner.
Yeah, and there's permitting regime under the Environment Agency that controls some of those things as well.
Okay, who's actually responsible? So, you start digging on the site, you know, idea what you're digging. Is the Environment Agency coming from time to time independently and measure, or are we relying on poachers and gamekeepers scenarios here, that it's down to the demolition contractor to put his hand up and say, I think we found something dodgy, risk delays and costs? I mean, you could do that with asbestos, but you're probably behind bars when you're caught out for it. is it the same? Well, I want to touch it with no. Is it the same kind of constraints we've got here to alleviate people's concerns?
Yeah, the Environment Agency do also have an enforcement function. I don't know great details about what they do, but we have had some involvement with them on a couple of sites in Stafford.
Mm.
And I know they have quite extensive powers to be able to go in and inspect and ask for various logs and things like that. And certainly if there is material moving off-site, it all has to be recorded. They can make spot checks and things like that.
Mm.
I'm not saying they're going to turn up every week or anything like that, but they've certainly got the ability to go on site and, you know, demand to see records and things like that.
Councillor Beattie, you indicated.
Yes, sorry, Chairman. I just thought to start with, I said I had no interest to declare. The two of us are members of the Internal Drainage Board that have commented on this application, so just Simon may tell me it's irrelevant.
Who's the second?
Jack.
Councillor Kemp.
Trying to remember his name from
there. That's something that I don't know.
Is that what you wanted to declare?
We're both members of the IDB.
Yeah.
The only other thing from my own understanding, there is legislation, fairly strong legislation under the Environment Act that cover the points that have been raised.
Councillor Trowbridge?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I went into the old application on this and read through it all because I'm a bit of a cabbage. And I read that the Environmental Agency wanted to be there on site when they started, and they were looking for burials as well. So absolutely, that's already in. It's in there somewhere.
You're
don't ask me where,
on
that, but I am just a little bit of an anorak when it comes to these.
Councillor Finch, you wanted to come back?
I do, just on the same point that I raised previously. Policy Stafford 1 reiterates, states that development shouldn't harm but enhance watercourses in the town. And it does actually state on the developer's information that the risk to control waters, this was November, it's currently being assessed and discussed with the Environment Agency and is subject to a separate control waters risk assessment. Now, the Environment Agency's response came in probably a week later. I'm wondering whether we've actually got this separate controlled waters risk assessment, whether that was actually or has been submitted.
Is that within condition 5, as I see it, John? Because it's all about the remediation works, detailed risk assessments, etc.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, condition 5. Talks about the remediation measures and pollutant linkages and maintenance. So we'd be covered in that. They have to submit it to us for agreement.
Okay.
So is that yes, we're looking at it?
Yeah, it'll be covered in the remediation strategy that has to come in at condition stage.
So can I ask the Chairman, will the culvert be opened up in the initial stages, or is that going to be one of the last things that's going to happen? Obviously dependent on the findings and the water runoff, because otherwise you're letting things run off into natural habitat before you've made sure that it's safe for it to do so.
Mm. Again, Chairman, doesn't that come via the remediation strategy and the proposals, and once they've done their risk assessment,
yeah,
which has to be submitted up front to the local planning authority?
I think there will be an order, a proper order, where tasks are undertaken to both make the site right and also to mitigate risks. And I think that reading the report and what the comments, you can sense that is the case. And if approval is given, it is on the assumption that that will actually take place.
Okay, thank you. I did read
Is that right?
Chairman, I did read this, but there's only limited information within this. That's the reason for wanting some clarification. My other point that I wanted to ask is that if the sewers that are going through here, old sewage systems that are going through here, and there's any damage, etc., done to it, who will be responsible for any pollutants that went to the water course?
From a damaged sewer?
Yes, the old sewers that potentially there may be running through the.
If the developer damages a sewer that is still in use,
it's not known to be still in use. They're supposed to be old, from what I understand, old sewage systems that are running under there. But they're not entirely sure if that's the case. Whether they actually exist or don't exist is something that you don't seem to be too sure about.
Is this not covered under item 3 of the informatives?
Item 3 of?
The informatives.
Bottom of page 17.
I refer you to bottom of this page 17. That paragraph 3.
That's what I was referring to.
Okay. That doesn't really need to be called,
do we? I mean, it doesn't say whose responsibility it would be, though.
I think it wouldn't be a planning matter. It would be a private matter between the developer and Severn Trent Water.
I think, as you probably know, My concerns around all of this are all to do with pollutants and our water course, and my concerns relating to the culprit being opened up prior to all of this being dealt with. I need that to be noted, because I have real concerns over this. We have a developer that went ahead and this application's in part retrospective. So the developer has obviously gone ahead and done what the developer wants to do. So that is obviously going to make me look at some of these things closer. It's clearly not an oversight. The developer has built plenty of developments on brownfield sites previously. So we're here looking at a retrospective planning application, and as a result of that, I feel it's important to look at some of these things so that they don't become retrospective.
It isn't a retrospective application, it's an application where work has started.
Yes, the previous application where there was demolition involved, but this application is not retrospective at all.
Councillor?
Is it possible then to change my, still putting forward for this to be accepted, but a condition put in that the culvert is the last bit that's dealt with, or not?
It's not for us to say.
It might not be wise, because it depends on the risk assessment that's submitted to them.
So we really need to rely on environmental agencies.
Yes.
Okay.
And the relationship of the agency with other.
Yeah.
Other.
Okay.
We have a proposer and a seconder, and the proposer is that this application is approved and be accepted.
Can that be subject to the amendment
amendment that was agreed, which I can't recite out I distinctly heard said. Those in favour of that proposal with that amendment, thank you very much. Those against?
One.
Two.
Two.
Okay, that motion is then carried. We now go on to
page 20, I think.
20, which is
the final appeals
Planning appeals.
All dismissed. Well done.
Do you want to talk about this one?
Yes, Chairman. About 20. Just in general terms, you can see there's a list on page 20, and then there's five appeal decisions that follow. You can see that all five appeals were dismissed, which is quite an impressive record, really.
Mm-hmm. Even though you say so.
Now, there are a couple of them that to mention. If I just say briefly, the first one, I think, is the second application we've had in relation to this. This was the replacement of a temporary dwelling with a detached dwelling in Garshall Green, which has been dismissed. The second one, Prospect Road, was an application that committee reviews. And you can see that the inspector has supported that decision.
That's brilliant.
The third one, Mill Farm Barns, this is also a committee decision. This is in relation to a section of fence about 50 metres long or something like that along Red Hill Road. So why I'm mentioning this is because you will be getting an enforcement report to consider the expedience of enforcement action now, because it was a partly retrospective application, so we need to consider what to do with that fence. Then I don't know much about the Stalling, the Grinby Lane one, but then the bottom one, the Croft Gate, and this is also a decision that committee made. In this case, it was in accordance with the recommendation, and it's interesting because the applicant was trying to demonstrate a fallback position. And obviously the inspector hasn't accepted that view and has dismissed the appeal.
Okay, that's just Councillor Boyd.
Could I speak on one of these? You just said, John, that the Mill Farm Barns will be receiving an enforcement report. Will we be coming to committee to?
Yes. Because it's a committee decision to make if we're going to serve a notice.
Thank you, Chairman.
Those appeals are amplified in the following. So if you're happy with the judge, sorry.
Yeah, can I make a comment about the one in Coton Fields in Prospect Road? And it's what, and I was told about this almost immediately the inspector had been and given his report, which I was pleased about. If you look on page 26, paragraph 8, the inspector concluded that proposed development would adversely affect the character and appearance of the area. And that's why I called it in. And I am concerned that there seems to be a lack of interest by people, landlords, who were distance from this area about what the developments that can affect the appearance of our area. And I will say no more than that. And I was very pleased that this inspector came to the same conclusion that I have in the past, that this is open land and it's there for a purpose. It was left. It was left on two occasions by this council not to build on that land.
And that's been supported by the inspector.
But I don't think it'll go away. I don't think it'll go away, but I have to be watching it carefully.
Okay, thank you. And then I'll bring the meeting to a close. Thank you for your attendance and your consideration.